Beverly Williams, good to have you in the service tonight. I overlooked you earlier. God bless you. Used to be a member here, and just a blessing. Just a good lady. I appreciate her. All right. Brother Booth has been a blessing to our church. Every time he comes, I don't ever fear having Brother Booth here, because I know he comes with a burden, something on his heart that I believe will help us, and that it will be no exception tonight. And so these ladies are going to sing for us, Melody and her girls, and when they're done, you welcome Brother Booth. Give them undivided attention tonight. Ladies, y'all sing.
Wasn't he good, so good to you and to me? God is so good to me.
So good to me.
Yes, he is good to me.
So good to me.
God is so good, so good. He's so good to me.
Isn't he? Man, I'll tell you, I was thinking about, you know, Baptists are strange folks, aren't we? And, you know, I was born one, I am one, and but Baptists are funny people. I was a couple of weeks ago down in South Louisiana. I was preaching, and after the service, the pastor came and he said, Brother Booth, somebody felt led to give you this. And he handed me this watch. And I looked at it, and I thought, wait a minute, that says Rolex. I said, preacher, that says Rolex. He says, I know it. I said, you think it's real? He said, I don't know. And I'm thinking, you know, praise God, you know, I'm going to sell that thing and pay off some bills and you know, buy me a $50 watch. And so my wife got a little excited, you know, and we looked at some things on the internet, how to tell a fake one. And I'm telling you, everything was exactly right. And so we went to the jeweler, and said, just want to find out if this thing's real or not. He took one look at it. He said, nope, it's fake. Everything that looks exactly right on it, except when you take the backside. He said, if that was real, it'd be a $50,000 watch. And he took the back off of it. There's a little plastic circle thing in there. He said, $50,000 watches don't have plastic in it. I said, I should have known to begin with. The Baptist gave it to me. So I'm walking around with a fake watch, and I'm hoping maybe during football camp I can sneak away, go downtown Chicago, and sell it on the street corner for a couple hundred anyway. But you hear about those four ministers that each one fell down the stairs. The first one, he's a Methodist minister. He fell down the stairs. He got up and he said, I wonder what I could learn from that. Well, then the Catholic priest, he fell down the stairs and he said, boy, I must have done something really bad for that to happen. And then Presbyterian minister, he fell down the stairs and he got up and he said, that was inevitable. Glad it's over with. And the Baptist, he fell down the stairs. He got up and he said, I wonder which deacon pushed me down there. Amen. Baptists are funny folks. Well, I always enjoy being here. Thank you so much for Brother Angel letting me come again. And please be praying for our football camp. There have been a lot of prayers go out for football camp, and we sure would love to see a harvest of boys that just give their lives to the Lord and never turn back. And that's what we need. And so please pray with us about this week, and appreciate all what I've heard already the church has done to help us out over there. And that's such a blessing. I flew in this afternoon, and then I'll be here throughout this week. Try to keep Brother Woodward out of jail before football camp starts, and then, of course, during the week of football camp. So we appreciate your prayers. And I just want to tell you how much I love your preacher. What a good friend he's been to me, and I appreciate him very, very much. And the more I travel around and in churches, the more I appreciate my friends that have just been faithful through the years, and God's used them in a great way. And you know, your pastor's a very godly man. And I don't know if you heard several years ago when he went over to Israel and he climbed up Mount Sinai just so he could be a little closer to the Lord. And he talked to the Lord and he said, you're such a great God. He said, as great as you are, God, what is a million years to you? God said, well, it's just a minute. And he said, well, what is $1 million to you? And God said, well, it's just a penny. And your preacher said, God, would you give me a penny? And God said, in a minute. Let's open our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I think I told you the wrong one. 1 Corinthians in the deaf section. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. They're deaf, I'm dumb. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I couldn't help but think at the Revival Fires conference here that that first fellow that got up to preach, Brother Thompson, Jack Thompson, and I don't remember exactly what his age was, somewhere around 150 or something like that. But I thought about, you know, I remember he preached on, is it worth it? Now, man, that blessed my heart. And, you know, the longer I serve God, the more I am grateful for people that are just faithful. Just faithful. Just where they're supposed to be, doing what they ought to be doing, walking with the Lord, not changing their convictions, not caving into the world. Just faithful. Look over there at Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Boy, we fundamentalists know that, don't we? But a faithful man, who can find? Faithfulness. Do you know, as you go through life as a Christian, things start out pretty exciting, and boy, I tell you, you get saved. That's the most wonderful thing in the world when that weight of sin and guilt is lifted off of you and you know you're forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and know that you got a home in heaven forever and a relationship with God now that you never had before. Man, that's exciting. But you know, to grow in the Christian life, it takes time. And you go through the challenges and the disappointments and the difficulties. And you know, I've found that through my life, even in the ministry, how oftentimes through those difficult, heartache times, that the old devil comes along and says, is it worth it to be faithful? Is it really worth it to be faithful? I mean, there's a lot of heartache, a lot of challenges. And do you know that God grows us through those trials and through those difficulties? It's by no mistake of the Lord. He doesn't make any mistakes. And so the longer I serve the Lord, the more I appreciate folks that have just been faithful. You know, Webster defined the word faithful as firm adherence to the truth, or firm adherence to duty, or conformable to truth, or constant. You know, it's full of faith. That's what makes somebody faithful. Full of faith. They just keep running the race looking unto Jesus. Regardless of what's happening, the circumstances, people, all these kind of things that can be such a stress to us in life. And yet the faithful person is just full of that faith that says, my Savior has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just going to keep running the race looking unto Jesus. Now, we at football camp have a couple of older preachers that come every year to help a football camp. Brother Woodward and I can't hardly help ourselves to not have those fellas preach because we don't know how much longer they're going to be with us. But I want those young men to see some older men that have been through the battles and the scars and they're still just faithful. Haven't dropped their standards, haven't dropped their convictions, haven't dropped their fervor for preaching, haven't quit going soul winning, just still faithful. You know, Matthew 25, it tells us that parable about the servant that receives the talents and has the different ones. And the one that got the five talents, he made five more and he brought back his five talents plus five. And you know, in the parable, the Lord tells us that the master said to that servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, thou good and talented servant. Well done, thou good and scholarly servant. He didn't say, well done, thou good and impressive servant. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I tell you something tonight, folks? Everybody can be faithful if they choose to. Faithfulness is just a choice. And it doesn't take any special talent. It just takes a desire to have faith in a God that never fails. And just keep our eyes upon Him. But you know, sometimes in the battles and the heartaches and the disappointments and the failures, the old devil comes along and says, is it worth it to be faithful? Demas didn't think so. So he forsook Paul, having loved this present world. I remember when I was a teenager and I'd gotten things right with the Lord and I went off to youth camp. And I was 15 years old. It was between my freshman year and my sophomore year. And I remember there at youth camp, and they had this old fella get up to preach, and he was in his 80s. I'll never forget, I thought to myself, what have they got this old geezer preaching to us for? And boy, when he preached with fire and fervency. And he preached about being a soldier in the army of Christ. Boy, I remember the conviction that came to my heart, and boy, my old heart started beating. Boy, the old tears started welling up in my eyes when the invitation was given. I shot down the aisle. My preacher was down there. And I threw my arms around him and I was weeping. And he said, Tim, what's going on? I said, I believe that God is calling me to preach. And I want to surrender. And he prayed with me. And, you know, when I got home, I remember sitting down with my dad. You know, my dad was a preacher, but my dad was out of the ministry during my junior high and high school years because of a lot of health problems and things that happened. And so I remember when I got home and I sat down with my dad and I said, Dad, at youth camp this past week, I went forward. I surrendered to preach. Do you know my dad's response was, "Are you sure about that?" And he spent the next 30 minutes trying to talk me out of it. And you know, at that particular moment, I didn't fully understand. But I want to tell you something. Now, 34 years of full-time ministry, I look back, I understand why he tried to talk me out of it. He understood about the heartaches and the battles. And later he told me, he said, "Son, I knew if I could talk you out of it, the old devil would talk you out of it eventually." Because all of us, if we're going to grow as Christians, folks, we got to go through those difficult times and those stressful times and those heartache times, those disappointment times. But listen to me, that's when the old devil comes along and says, "Is it really worth it to stay faithful?" Well, let me ask you, we could question those throughout the Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith, and it mentions by name all those great men that were full of faith. And then it comes to those that it doesn't mention their names that went through great persecutions and great trials and great afflictions. And it says of them that they did not receive the promise. They did not see the promise fulfilled in their lifetime. I mean, they went through all the heartache. God did not deliver them like we would want to be delivered. And yet they stayed faithful. And we could ask them tonight, was it worth it to be faithful? Was it worth it? I mean, you ended up, God didn't deliver you. Was it worth it to be faithful anyway? You know, you go to Uriah the Hittite in the Old Testament. What a man. You know, we don't talk a whole lot about Uriah. But listen to me. Do you know that in the second to last chapter of 2 Samuel, when David mentions and lists all those mighty men, it says, "And Uriah the Hittite." But David, you killed him. I mean, think about Uriah. Uriah was faithful to David, his commander. He was faithful to the God of Israel. He was a Hittite. He wasn't a Hebrew. And yet he chose to be faithful and fight on behalf of God's name. He was faithful to his wife. He never cheated on her. He was faithful to the men that he served when David brought him home with that wicked, conniving plan and tried to get Uriah to go and sleep with his wife. He wouldn't do it because his men were at the forefront of the battle. What a faithful man. But then David puts him in the forefront of the battle, calls the men back, and lets Uriah get killed. Hey, Uriah, was it worth it to be faithful? I mean, you got your life taken from you after you were loyal and you were right and you did the right thing. You had character. Was it worth it to be faithful? Was it worth it, Paul, for you to be faithful? When you went through all those perils of the waters and perils on land and perils of your own countrymen, perils of stripes often and fastings often, all those things. And then you said on top of that, the care of all the churches. Boy, what a weight to carry, Paul. And then we find in a few verses later, he cries out and said, "Lord, would you remove this thorn in the flesh?" And the Lord said, "No." I mean, wouldn't it seem to be reasonable after all that Paul's carrying on him, after all he's been through and all the work that he's done for the Lord and all the faithfulness that he's proven to the Lord, and yet he just asked him to take this thorn in the flesh away. Wouldn't it seem like God would do that for Paul? But God said no. We got a whole bunch of Christians, man. God doesn't answer their prayer and heal them of this or take away this problem or solve their financial issues. They're ready to turn their back on God in a heartbeat. Hey, Paul, was it worth it? God said no to you. My strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul. Was it worth it, Paul, to still stay faithful? And Paul comes to the end of his life and he said, "I finished my course." Was it worth it, Paul? Was it worth it, Stephen, when you stood and faithfully preached the truth to those Jews, though they didn't like to hear it? You pointed out they were guilty of crucifying their own Messiah. Boy, they got angry and they picked up the stones and stoned you to death. Stephen, was it worth it to be faithful?
Hey, John the Baptist, was it worth it to be faithful when you stood and you denounced the wicked sin of that leader and you stood your ground with courage and boldness, but he chopped your head off? Was it worth it, John the Baptist? Is it worth it to be faithful? Well, I want to answer the question as they would for you tonight. Let me tell you, it is worth it to be faithful. I'm going to tell you why. First of all, because there is sufficient grace. There is sufficient grace. Look over there at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Look over there, chapter 12. He says to Paul in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Look over there at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. The grace is sufficient and it's available. Webster defined grace as this, a divine influence in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. Well, that's a good definition. You see, God always will supply the grace. He promises He will. That doesn't mean that we always receive it. You have to be willing to take it. You have to be willing to receive it. You go through the loss of a loved one, the grace is going to be sufficient, but you have to receive it. You go through the challenge of critics attacking you and maybe maligning you, the grace will be sufficient, but you have to receive it. The disappointments of life come. You have your children decide not to follow the Lord. They make choices of their own that's contrary to the way you raised them up, and it absolutely rips your heart out, and you think you can't hardly take another breath. I'm telling you, my friend, His grace is sufficient, but you've got to receive it. It's available. It's promised to us. You go through a time, maybe your spouse decides to turn their back on God and turn their back on you. Listen to me, I'm telling you tonight, His grace is sufficient. You can still go on and be faithful. His grace will be there for you. You've got to receive it. And can I tell you what? The Bible says that you can't receive it unless you receive it humbly. Because God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That means you got to say, dear Lord, You're teaching me things in this. I don't deserve any better than this. I deserve worse than this. You know why we don't get the grace we need? When the trials and the difficulties come to challenge our faithfulness and the old devil comes along and says, is it really worth it to be faithful? You know what our problem is? We start belly aching and complaining and whining and thinking that we deserve better than what we're getting. And that's what you call pride. The truth is, folks, do you understand what we deserve tonight? I mean, when God looked at us and said, hey, your sin is... He didn't say it's bad enough to send you to hell for 6 months. That'd be horrible. But God looked at every one of us. He didn't say that our sin's bad enough to send us to hell for 6 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 100 years. He said our sin is bad enough for us to spend an eternity in hell. Somehow we think we deserve better than that. The only way we receive that grace, God promised it'll be there for you. You can have sufficient grace to stay faithful, but you've got to come to receive it humbly. Apostle Paul wrote, when he founded the church at Philippi, he was in jail. 11 years later, when he writes back to the church at Philippi, he's in jail. But still faithful. How? Because God's grace was sufficient. Think about Uriah. Was God's grace sufficient for him? Let me tell you what the grace of God did for Uriah. The grace of God took Uriah on to heaven before he ever had to know about the unfaithfulness of his wife and his commander. The grace of God took Uriah on to heaven before he ever had to battle with that feeling of hatred towards somebody who had done him wrong. You see, the Lord took Uriah on to heaven before he ever had to face that temptation to just give up and quit and turn back. His grace is sufficient. It was sufficient for John the Baptist to keep on standing. It was sufficient for Stephen to keep on standing. It was sufficient for the martyrs to keep on standing. It was sufficient for Matthew when he was slain with a sword. It was sufficient for Mark when he was dragged to death in Alexandria. It was sufficient for Luke when he was hung from an olive tree in Greece and they said kept on preaching while he was still hanging there. It was sufficient for John when he was boiled and then banished. It was sufficient for Peter when he was crucified outside of Rome upside down. It was sufficient for James the Greater when he was beheaded in Jerusalem. It was sufficient for James the Less when he was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple. They say he laid there on the ground and kept preaching while he was dying. It was sufficient for Bartholomew when he was filleted alive and he preached till he was dead. It was sufficient for Andrew when he was crucified, pulling up constantly just so he could preach another word. It was sufficient for Jude when he was shot with arrows, and Barnabas when he was stoned at Thessalonica, and Thomas when he was run through with a lance in the East Indies, Matthias when he was stoned, then beheaded, and it was sufficient for Paul when he was beheaded by Nero. Let me tell you something. The grace of God is sufficient. We need to quit our whining with the little troubles that come along our way and realize His grace is sufficient. I've just got to humbly accept it. God doesn't decide to deliver you. Then He says, but my grace will be sufficient to take you through it. Somehow in the day in which we live, we got this concept that Christians are supposed to just have a happy, easy time. It was never that way throughout the New Testament. Why do we think it ought to be different for us? I'm going to tell you something. If something done drastically change in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival transform churches across this land, I'm going to tell you, we're headed to some tough times. And we need folks that realize it's worth it to be faithful to Him. It's worth it because there's sufficient grace. Let me say it's also worth it because there's a sovereign God. You know the word sovereignty means? It means all powerful. You understand our God is so powerful that He can make sure that His perfect plan is carried out in our life? Our God is so powerful He can make sure that every promise He's ever made is fulfilled? We have a sovereign God and He makes no mistakes. And because of His great power, He can promise that He'll always be faithful to you and I. Look over there at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's faithful. Look over there at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Look over there at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Look over there at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Look over there at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Listen to me. I hate to think how oftentimes I've been unfaithful to Him, but He has always been faithful to me and always will be faithful. He's a sovereign God. He knows what He's doing with our lives and with the heartaches and the challenges and the trials and the disappointments. He still's in control. Listen to me, I don't know what's going to happen with this election coming up. But I know I have a sovereign God that's totally in control. Nothing's going to catch him off guard. Nothing's going to be a surprise to him. Can I tell you, whatever happens across fundamentalism doesn't change one thing for me, because my dear friend, my God is still the same. He's faithful, and he knows everything that's going to happen and everything that's going to be taking place in the next 5 years and 10 years and 100 years. My friend, you keep on running the race because he's faithful. We have a sovereign God. Joseph, you look at him, boy, I wonder, Joseph, how did you do it? I mean, your brothers, that wasn't fair for them to treat you like they treated you and hated you the way they hated you. Joseph, you weren't that bad to them that they so despised you. And yet, Joseph, you seem to just stay faithful and keep your eyes on the Lord. Was it worth it? Man, they sold you out there to old Potiphar, and man, he took you away from your family. You worked like a slave, and it seemed like the Lord prospered you, Joseph, and you tried to stay faithful. And even when the old wicked Potiphar's wife come along and tried to seduce you, and you stayed faithful. You didn't give in to that temptation. You stayed faithful. But then she lied about you. You ended up in prison, Joseph. That doesn't seem right, Joseph. But you still stayed faithful. And it says over and over there that the Lord was with you, Joseph, and made you to prosper. And then you ended up in the prison, and you interpreted that dream. That rascal didn't even remember when he got out to tell. And you know, it was years, Joseph, that you went through all this suffering and heartache. And was it worth it, Joseph? Oh, yes, listen to me. Joseph says, the Lord was with me through every bit of it. You read it over and over through the book of Genesis. And the Lord was with Joseph and made all that he did to prosper. God didn't forsake him. He had a greater purpose in all of it. Joseph later on said, yeah, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that he might save many alive. God knows what he's doing. We got a sovereign God. Romans chapter 8, we oftentimes quote verse 28, but we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. That's a wonderful, all things, all those things God works together for them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. We forget the next verse oftentimes. It goes on to say that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So all these things in the life of the believer that's desirous to please God, the heartaches, the disappointments, the letdowns, the broken dreams, all those things, God's working together to make us more like Christ. He's a sovereign God. It's worth it to be faithful because we have sufficient grace and we have a sovereign God. Let me say lastly, it's worth it to be faithful because there's a sure gain. There is a sure gain. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says, for a faithful man shall abound with blessing. That's God's promise. He blesses faithfulness. There's gain to come. It may not be what we choose, but I'm going to tell you, when God chooses, it's better than what we choose. Look over there at Revelation chapter 2. Verse 10. Here's the message to the church at Smyrna, the suffering church. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's a gain coming. There's a sure gain for faithfulness. Look over there at 1 Peter chapter 4 again. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, when we see Him, folks, I want to tell you, it'll be worth it all that we've been faithful. When we see Him and can see Him with confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming, it'll be worth it that we've been faithful. At the end of Paul's life, when he said, I finished my course, kept the faith, fought the good fight. And then he says, and henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but unto all those that love His appearing. There's a sure gain coming. those others that didn't see the promise fulfilled in their lifetime, my dear friend, the reward was waiting for them when they got to Jesus. It is worth it to be faithful. Ask Lois and Eunice, you ever think about it? Those dear ladies don't say anything much about their husband other than Timothy's dad was a Greek, but don't really say much about their husbands. But Paul mentions they had unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned is a wonderful word. It means without hypocrisy. It means no double mask. You know, when they put on a play, they didn't have a whole lot of different actors. The actor would play several different parts. He'd just put a different mask in front of him. And that's where we get our word hypocrisy. A faith that didn't go two-faced. Boy, we're praising God at church, but we get home and we're hollering, screaming, cussing at the kids and complaining and whining about everything. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that messes up our children more than that. They had unfeigned faith. But do you understand? It was awful tough for a Jewish man to turn his back on his Judaism and trust Christ as Savior in that day. How about for ladies? Two ladies. Without the support of their husbands. Lois and Eunice. Hey, was it worth it to be faithful? Lois, Eunice, was it worth it to be faithful? Oh, yeah. Have you seen what the Lord did with our boy Timothy? He had that unfeigned faith too. I tell you something, Mom and Dad, it's worth it to stay faithful. It's worth it to stay faithful when they're in grammar school. It's worth it to stay faithful when they get to junior high school and they start challenging your standards and your convictions. Hey, that's not the time to give in. That's the time to just stay faithful. It'll be worth it. You may have to fight some battles and be unpopular for a little while, but I'm going to tell you, it'll be worth it. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. It's worth it to be faithful. It was worth it to Obed-Edom when he left that comfort of his home and that Hittite wasn't even a Hebrew, and yet he stayed with the ark. And then the Bible tells us 62 of his descendants were serving God when he became old. Is it worth it, Obed-Edom? Oh, yeah, it's worth it. Hey, Job, you went through an awful lot. You were a perfect and upright man. Seemed like you tried to do right and have a testimony and teach your children right. Boy, the old God allowed the devil just to tear you apart. Took your health, took your wealth, caused your wife to get angry and bitter. And was it worth it, Job? Oh, yeah. There were times I kind of wondered. There were times in the middle of it where the old devil come along and said, yeah, is it worth it? Your friends have turned on you. Nobody understands you. You're starting to think about the old days, the way it used to be and how good it was and how you had a good reputation and everybody respected you. And boy, you started looking back. But you know what? Job says, I didn't realize that just a little while later, God was going to turn that whole thing around and He blessed my latter end better than my beginning. That's a sure gain. It's worth it to be faithful. I was preaching in Frederick, Maryland. And the pastor there, good guy, it's a tough place, faithful, good pastor, been there a number of years, and his church, I guess Sunday morning in the revival, they maybe had 35, 40 people. And most of those folks were back Sunday night, and the pastor said, yeah, he said, you know, but we have a Spanish church as well. They meet after the English-speaking church and on Sunday afternoon, and we have about 40 Spanish. I said, man, that's great, Pastor. And he said, and then we have another church, too. We have a Burmese church. And we got about 100 of them. And I said, Burmese? I said, where'd they come from? He said, Burma. Don't have to be real smart to be an evangelist, you know. And I said, no, Pastor, I mean, what's the story? He said, well, he said, one day this fella come and up to the church and said, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you. He said, I've got a bunch of folks that we came from Burma. And he said in Burma, there's a state that's like 98% born-again believers. But the overall government is very anti-God, and they've caused great persecution. And your United States government allowed us to come on an asylum to move here. And one of the areas they told us to come to was Frederick. And he said, so a lot of our older people, they don't follow English very well. And so if you would be willing, Pastor, I just want to let you know we're Baptists. He said, the whole bunch of us, we're Baptists. And he said, we love the Lord. And he said, you know, he said, we'd like to join your church, but if you wouldn't mind if I pastored the people, but I'll fall under your authority. We won't conflict with anything, Pastor. And Pastor began to question him about his doctrine. Man, he was right on target, right down the line. And he said, well, how did you learn your doctrine? And he said, oh, Pastor, he said, maybe you've heard, but we're descendants of the converts of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson, that old Baptist missionary who went on his way to India and God put him over there in Burma. And man, he labored for over 6.5 years before he saw his first convert. You imagine in those 6.5 years, sending back letters to the churches? Well, nobody yet. Well, are you sure you're called there? Well, I'm pretty sure. The old devil man come along. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to keep on? And then they went into civil war and they ended up putting that missionary in prison for 18 months. His poor wife and kids. And then his wife gets sick and he buries her under Burmese sod. And man, one trial after another trial. And finally, he had about 18 converts. Hey, Adoniram Judson, was it worth it? Oh, yeah, look today. It's a sure gain. Look today, there's a state over there with 98% of them born again. All descendants of converts that came from Adoniram Judson. Hey, Sunday school teachers, is it worth it to stay faithful? Yeah. Don't cave in the middle of it. You won't get to see the blessing. You just stay faithful. Hey, Mom and Dad, is it worth it to stay faithful when it's not popular with the kids? Yeah, just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. There's preachers all over this country falling to the world and giving up on their standards and changing their music and changing their convictions. But I'm going to tell you something. You know who's getting the blessings? Those that just stay faithful. Is it worth it to stay faithful? You bet it is. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the time we've had to look into the Word of God tonight. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be honest with you tonight. Maybe there's some folks that have been under some great strain, some great trials, some great afflictions, Lord, some disappointments, some heartaches. And the old devil's come as he does, such a liar. He tells them, boy, it's not worth it. But Lord, I pray that tonight you lift some hearts and courage and help us, Lord, to get our eyes off a man and off of circumstances, off ourselves, and run that race looking unto thee. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody looking. I want to ask you tonight, can you say honestly, boy, praise God, I know without a doubt if I died, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I remember where I was when the Spirit of God convicted my heart. I knew I was a sinner on my way to hell. Somebody took the Bible and showed me from the Bible how to trust Christ. With a repentant heart, I called on the Lord and trusted Him as my Savior. And I was born again. And I know without a doubt, if I died right now, that I'd spend eternity in heaven. If that's your honest testimony, would you indicate that by raising your hand? Just raise it up and put it down and be honest. It's not time for anybody to look or judge anybody. It's time for you to just be honest with the Lord. Thank you. You may put your hands down. And I wonder tonight if there's somebody who would say, to be honest with you, Brother Booth, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful for that. But, boy, there's been some tough goes lately. And I needed that message. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart tonight. I don't need to let up.
I need to fire up. I just need to stay faithful. And somewhere during the message, maybe you lost some hope. And when you lose hope, you do shameful things, the Scripture says. And maybe you've even allowed some sin to get in your life and you just had kind of given up and said, what's the use? Maybe tonight you need to come to an altar and confess and get it right with the Lord. Maybe something I never preached on. But you say, Brother Booth, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart tonight. I needed that. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up, Christians? God spoke to your heart tonight. God bless you. Thank the Lord for you. Many hands. Thank the Lord for you. Maybe some that you'd say, Brother Booth, something you never even preached on, but the Lord spoke to my heart about tonight as a Christian, and I need to get settled with God. Include me in the prayer. Would you slip your hand up? Are there others? God bless you. God bless you. I wonder tonight who might say, to be honest with you, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. God loved me enough that He sent Jesus to die at Calvary so I could have salvation. I'd like to know how to have that salvation. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could be sure I was going to heaven according to the Bible, I'd like to know that. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just put your hand up and put it down. I won't embarrass you. I would like to be your friend and pray for you. Just slip your hand up, put it down. That's me. I couldn't raise my hand that I was going to heaven. But I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Just slip it up and put it down. Just a moment, we'll stand for prayer. I'll pray, and after I do, the music will begin. God spoke to your heart. You need to find a place at the altar. Let's do that. Stand with me for prayer, please. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you're such a wonderful God that we can look to. Thank you for the provision of grace. Help us to humbly receive it, Lord. We're so needy. And help us, Lord, to rest knowing that your promises are always fulfilled. Bless tonight, I pray. I pray that some victories would be won. You'd seal some decisions that'll make a difference. Make a difference in our zeal for Thee, our service for Thee, our soul winning for Thee, our faithfulness at home. So bless tonight, we pray. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. As music plays, God spoke to your heart. You need to come. You come on.